Good morning, Symphony Church. We are continuing in the book of 1 Samuel, and today we'll be reading from 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 3, all the way to 17, to the end of the chapter. And I'll read that for us. And Samuel said to all the house of Israel, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your heart to the Lord, and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So the people of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroth, and they served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, "Gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah. Now, when the Philistines heard that the people of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the people of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the people of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." So Samuel took a nursing lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. But the Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion, and they were defeated before Israel. And the men of Israel went out from Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them as far as below Beth-kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer. For he said, "Till now the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and did not again enter the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The cities that the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath, and Israel delivered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. There was peace also between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he went on a circuit year by year to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah, and he judged Israel in all these places. Then he would return to Ramah, for his home was there. And there also he judged Israel, and he built there an altar to the Lord. So in today's passage, we finally get to see Samuel in action for the first time in this book. We're told of how he became a prophet under Eli's care at the beginning of 1 Samuel, but the following accounts of the Ark of the Covenant and all that jazz with the Philistines, they didn't include any mention of Samuel. So here he is, raised up to prophesy and judge over Israel, and his first decree is a call to repentance. Samuel gathers all the Israelites and tells them that if they're serious about returning to the Lord, and they're ready to do it with all their heart, they have to stop their idol worship. They have to serve God alone. And actually, we see that Israel does so. They put away all the idols of Baal and the Ashtaroth, and they sought to serve the Lord and the Lord alone. But Samuel takes it one step further, and he calls Israel to recognize their past misdeeds and to gather at a place called Mizpah in order to repent before the Lord. And actually, we see that Israel does this as well. They gather at Mizpah and they repent and they say, "We have sinned against the Lord." And so by following Samuel's urging, Israel began to orient themselves back toward their God once again. And now it's interesting because what ensues is actually really a timely occurrence. Just as Israel was promising to return to the Lord and to serve him and to look only to him while they were in Mizpah, there arises an opportunity to put that faith to the test. And that came in the form of the Philistines. The Philistines see that the Israelites were gathered at Mizpah, and for some reason, they deem it to be a good idea to go out against them in battle. Now, it should be mentioned that the Philistines had just experienced the wrath of God of Israel, and they had sent back the Ark of the Covenant as a sign of surrender. But in any case, they decided to renege on that decision. They decide to attack Israel. And so the Philistines go up against Israel, and in really a facepalm moment, the Israelites see the Philistines and immediately are afraid of them. And I hope the irony of the situation isn't lost on you. The Israelites have gathered to repent and to declare to the Lord that they will rely on him and trust in him and have faith that he will protect them and fight for them. And as soon as opposition strikes, they're struck by fear. It's disappointing, to say the least. But to be honest, it's a pretty realistic moment as well. After all, it's not like we can boast in having perfect faith in the Lord and unwavering trust even in the face of life's toughest battles. No, we also have moments where we feel the fear and the anxiety welling up inside us. But the key here is that though the Israelites were afraid of the Philistines, they still looked to the Lord. They said to Samuel, "Keep crying out to the Lord, keep crying out so that he can save us from the Philistines." Even in their pleading, the Israelites show a great reliance on God, looking past their fear and choosing to put their lives in his hands. Their faith wasn't perfect. They still had much to go before they might have confidently stood their ground before the Philistines. But Israel still demonstrates that the Lord was at the center of their hearts, that he truly was their rock and their protector. And as Samuel offers up sacrifices and as he cries out to the Lord answers. He keeps the Philistines at bay and he throws them into confusion, and the battle ends with the Israelites being the winners. The faith of the Israelites paid off, and they enjoy a victory that clearly was won for them by the Lord their God. Now, our passage ends with Samuel setting up a stone of remembrance, and he calls it Ebenezer, which showed that the Lord had helped them, that the Lord was faithful. And I think this action from Samuel is a really wise one. It's one that goes beyond simply celebrating in the moment. After all, Israel had a track record of forgetting the faithfulness of the Lord. Up till now, in the account of God's people, Israel time and time again would enjoy help from God and then lose sight of him soon after. What Samuel did allowed for remembrance. Remembrance that whenever Israel would look upon the Ebenezer, the stone of help, they would remember how God had rescued them and had come to their aid. The application for us today is to follow in Samuel's actions. Just like how God was faithful to the Israelites through this battle with the Philistines, perhaps there have been moments where you see so clearly how God had delivered you and helped you through a trial or a tough season. Perhaps that's something that you're in the process of right now, and you're seeing the Lord working for your good. If we adopt this posture of repentance and reliance that we see the Israelites return to in this passage, then it's inevitable that God will continue to work and to prove his faithfulness time and time again. But through it all, make sure you remember his faithfulness. Make sure you don't forget a life's worth of battles that he has won for you. When we make sure we live a life of remembrance, of remembering the Lord's faithfulness, we'll continue to grow in trusting him more and giving more of ourselves over to him. I hope we can spend some time, even this morning, bringing to mind our Ebenezers, our moments where we can look back and say, glory be to God for his help. You know, whether that be through prayer, through asking the Holy Spirit to really minister to us and to bring to mind these things. Maybe it's looking through old journal entries or even starting a journal so that you can look back at it in the future. Let's adopt this lifestyle of remembrance. Let's remember his faithfulness, and let's let that remembering bring us to greater praise and worship for him. I hope that that's something that we can all commit to doing, and I hope that it's something that really pays off for us. Let me pray for us. Lord, you are a faithful, faithful God, and we just want to recognize that today. I pray that for every single one of us that we can commit to remembering you, to making sure that we never forget your faithfulness. Lord, this life can be really good at times at making us kind of forget, kind of take things out of our mind. But Lord, help us. Continue to remind us. And may we bring you greater praise and honor for that. Lord, we thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.